Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word and Miss Brown Sugar. We, of course, want to hear from you. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Tonight, we have an interview with Lady V from DV Passion. So, if you want to learn a little something tonight, give us a call. 347-826-7435. Lady V from DV Passion will be online shortly. In the meantime, in between time, if you want to get with us on social media, on Facebook, we have the Smooth Drama Group. Ask myself or Mr. J to get in, and we will get you into the Facebook group. And if you social media, just look up Smooth Drama. Wherever you find Smooth Drama, add us. We'll add you back, and we can talk a taste on it. As well as for those people who don't want to call in, you can always email us your questions, comments, concerns at smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Once again, questions, comments, concerns can be had at smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. And if you're listening live, you can also dive into the chat room. And without further ado, let's just go in. Lady V, welcome to the show.
Hey.
How you doing?
Happy.
Hey, what's up?
How are you?
Good. How are you?
It's good. I'm here with my husband, D.H. Black, as well.
How's it going?
How we doing, sir?
How are you, guys?
Excellent. Excellent.
Hi.
All right. So, let's just go in. What is DV Passion? What is it?
Oh, thank you so much. Well, first, thank you so much for having us on the show. DV Passion is our company. It's our brand. D represents my husband, who go as DH Black. And V, which is represents me, is Lady V. And Passion is what we give and what we give to others. And so it's a company that we started. We started a while ago, just helping couples, helping individuals with opening their relationships, opening their sexual palate, opening their mind to something different.
Okay. And so what made you want to do it?
It was just our friends just came to us, just random, because we were the only married group of people in our circle, so they just came to us and started asking us marriage advice questions. How do y'all stay married? How do y'all still have sex and enjoyable sex and still married for this long? So it just opened us up to let's start studying, let's start learning different things about sex and how we as people interact with sex and how we need to be educated more with sex.
And then also because everyone realized that we got married pretty quick in our relationship. So we met March 16th of 2004. He proposed April 20th of 2004. We got married June 19th of the same year. And so we've been married for 15 years later. Back then when we first started, people were like, hey, how do you guys keep the spark in your relationship? And, you know, how do y'all keep going and how do y'all open up your relationship? And then people see our interaction with each other. And so they admired it. And we're like, hey, you know, we're just like anyone else. We just like to have fun. And we talk about sex very openly because sex has always been a taboo topic. So we realized even in our community, sex is really we don't talk about it, you know, in our African American community. It's like, you know, it's very shunned upon. And if you talk about it too much, you know, people start questioning. So we didn't care. We were like, listen, we love us. We love our relationship. We've been married this long, and we've been open in our relationship for about 13 of the 15 years that we've been together. So, you know, it just goes right in with each other. That makes sense.
No, it makes sense.
My thing is, so you guys knew each other a total of for 1 month before. Maybe 3 months. Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, aside from the sex part, just that says a lot to me.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. We love each other very much.
15 years and 3 kids later, we still make it work. I mean, a lot of couples look up to us because we've stuck it through and we're open in our relationship, and we have fun. We love each other. And that's something that we show towards everyone. Even if you haven't met us, first interaction, you can tell that we are into each other and that we love one another.
Very much so. But we love showing
and
that
and
other,
and
to
I feel
other
like,
people.
Like that's what's important, though.
Exactly.
That's the important part of it. I mean, all the other stuff is, you know, is cool and nice and fun, but, you know, the commitment, the dedication that you guys show for one another, that's what's important.
And we also support each other. You don't find couples that actually support each other. I mean, full out support. You know, he's one of my biggest fans, and I'm his biggest fan. And so, you know, he does graphic design. Out of us being sex experts, he also does graphic design. So I tell him, hey, baby, it turns me on just watching you work, you know. But that's just, you know, certain things we keep. But that's how we keep the spice in our relationship. And not only other people that look at our relationship and, you know, admire it, but even our kids, you know, they always say, hey, mom, you know, we love the love that y'all give. And that's just us, you know, that's just us being unique. And because I've always been a person growing up saying, you know, I love you all the time. Even now, I would tell my husband, my cousins, all of them, hey, I'll just go randomly, hey, I love you. But that I love you keeps their attention because they know that that's genuine, you know. And so that's how we act with each other, but we interact with other people the same.
So now, Now that we even got the love fest out the way.
Yes.
So tell me, what does a DV passion workshop look like?
Oh wow!
which one
you come to?
You may come to the Bay is Bisexual. You may come to the
Faith Sitting 101.
You may come to the
Squirt,
how to the pros and cons of social media. So it all depends on which one you go to. We're very interactive, especially with our face sitting class, which is like one of our number one classes that we tour.
Wait. Uh-huh. You said face sitting class.
Yes. We teach individuals.
I was about to say, you heard that right. You heard what
I said. You heard that right. Be clear. Face sitting.
We teach individuals the basics of face sitting. If you don't do it properly, you can actually injure and even kill someone if it's not done properly. We take it for advantage when we go have sex and we're like, okay, yeah, I just want to sit on your face. But, you know, sitting on someone's face that you don't have basic conversation or basic communication, you don't know if that person can't breathe or what, you know? So we teach different positions that's comfortable for women of all sizes or individuals of all sizes, no matter how small, big, you know, whoever you are, is good for everyone.
And we also teach women and men, people with health issues.
Yeah.
You may have people who have bad backs and
arthritis
and bad knees and all that other stuff. So we teach them comfortable positions on how to, be comfortable on your mate's face.
And confident.
And confident.
Comfortable and confident.
So I have a question. So
sure.
Would the face sitting be different than just, you know, like with a woman laying on her back? So, like, do you guys talk about, like, the difference between that?
Oh, yeah.
For, like,
oh, yeah.
Like if you've never, like, sat on anybody's face, I mean, you know.
Oh, yeah. We get you in full position. We have live demos, and we teach you very basic steps. For me, I'm a plus-size female. And so I'm big, beautiful, and wonderful. So I had to become confident in myself, because when my husband told me to first do it, I was like, "What? What do you mean sit on your face? You're gonna die, baby." He's like, "No, I'm a man. I can handle it." And I was like, "Okay, I can't do this in a froggy position, because that froggy position is too much on my knees, and I deal with sciatica." So I was like, "No." And so I started to get into different positions that were comfortable for me. And then I found when I was sharing these positions with other females, they were like, "Hey, I never did this." And I'm like, "Hey, try this." And they're like, "Oh, wow. It was more comfortable. I can sit for a while and not, you know, my knees not give out on me." And so I'm like, okay, this is actually making sense. So even if you haven't and this is your first time, that's why you want to come top five. And we also do it online as well. But, you know, we teach it online as well. But if it's your first time and you want to get to it, live is always better. If you want to get into position and learn about it, that's when you come top five.
Okay.
Yeah, I can imagine, yeah.
So... So we have live demonstration. So now I've got this question here. So philosophical question, sociological, whichever one you want to call it. Do you think that you guys should be licensed as like divorced couples counselors?
Well, actually, I'm glad you asked that question. We're hopefully by the end of this year, we'll be certified as certified sex experts. But I feel that everyone that is dealing with anyone in the general public needs to have some kind of certificate, license, or experience under their belt. Because you're dealing with people of different, like we said, we teach different classes. So we're dealing with different individuals on different sexual pilot levels, or just different levels in general. One thing about us, we don't teach or educate or coach anything that we have not experienced ourselves.
And also, if we have an experience, we have people who
we outsource.
Yeah, who we can direct you to if you have anything dealing with something that may be deeper, that may be triggering, you know what I'm saying, psychological. That we have psychologists who are trained in the sexual area that can handle
help
sexual
you.
Traumas.
I'm just like we always say, we're here to get you a nut and teach you how to get a nut. However, we do understand with getting an orgasm, or even some of that could be psychological. So we have friends and associates and colleagues that we do associate, you know, that we do outsource some of our clients to.
Because you'd be surprised how many people have sexual traumas who are trying to live a normal sexual life, but they can't get past whatever happened to them. So that's when we try to help them and say, "Hey, you can go towards this person, and this person can help you in this area."
And when you're ready, come back.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now we're talking about that. Now I'm talking about, like, in your opinion, do you think that sex ed should be taught by people like yourself in high school?
Yes. Yes. This is our favorite topic, because we wanted to get into some of the schools out here in Georgia, because sex ed has been taken out of schools. So how do you expect for our younger generations, and I mean the millennials, to learn anything about sex when their parents don't even, like a lot of parents aren't even comfortable talking to their kids about sex? So sex ed is needed, and is needed in so many capacities.
And it needs to be something that is broken down to the elemental P, but it can still be simple and fun. We're
and
normal,
on their level.
And on their level. We're a normal, regular couple. And we tell our kids, well, we tell our kids about sex on their level, but we break it down to understanding that we can still be educational, but they can still understand it.
Exactly. Like, we've had this conversation even before, and more than high school.
College.
Going into even junior high school, because you have kids that are 7th and 8th periods that are pregnant, you know? And if I feel like if there were sex ed in the schools more, and we geared to not just looking at it as, oh, this is a cucumber, and this is a, you know, but it is a cucumber, and this is how you put on a condom. No, they need more than that. They need to be to have some down-to-earth people talking to them on their level.
And also with colleges, people going into college, they have to learn about consent, because consent is something...
is big.
Yeah, consent is something that is not taught, and that it can, they're not taught that it's a continuous conversation during sex. And a lot of guys get tripped up by not consenting, or, well, she said no, or she felt, or.
Well, she said yes, and in the middle she said no, so I kept on going.
No, I figured it. No, you need a definite answer.
Yeah, you need answers. That's very true. And so even, like I said before, even high school, going into junior high school, high school, and college, that continuous conversation is needed.
So now, do you know of or thought of maybe starting a movement so individuals like yourselves can actually be certified via government, whatnot, so that you can be officially in the schools? Because there's the whole, and I'm saying this because they teach the LGBTQ education now is in the school system. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying, do you know of a movement, or have you thought about putting together a movement of like-minded groups and individuals and seeing if you can make a push to be able to teach sex ed in school?
Well, you know what? With the people a few of our colleagues, we travel and tour together. For instance, expert Tyomi, Glamazon Tyomi, she's one of our good friends. But we all are, you know, very Afrocentric and beautiful in every shape, size, colors, and getting us together when we all teach is amazing. We have great experience from each and every, you know, all of us bring something to the table. That will be something that I would love to talk to them about, getting more into the educational field and getting into the schools. And what were you about to say, baby?
And it's a Marla Stewart.
Yeah.
She's also she's in some of the colleges. So she's in different colleges in Georgia and I think in Florida as well. But it's getting out there, especially in our community. It's just that
it's taking a little bit more time.
It's taking a little bit longer because the mainstream are looking towards, you know, white individuals or
Caucasians.
This is the sex bird, and this sex bird is coming into this, and it's like, wait, it's an African community who's doing a lot of big stuff.
And even now, we were saying that what other sex birds of color have you seen within the past, I would say, 20 years that are out there and that's speaking and to different people and reaching different people? You really don't see it.
Well, I would try to build up
that community.
Yeah, I would add that you say what other, I mean, we only know of one quote-unquote sexpert that has had national prominence, international prominence. That's Dr. Ruth, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the only one that we mainly
right.
know.
Right. And,
exactly.
And so that's why I said I think that it would be a humble suggestion. It would be important on your part for you to get your individuals together and create that movement so that you can service the communities. Maybe it's something where you speak to principals, whatnot, where you say, hey, this is our breakdown, and and how we can better serve the community through education.
That is very true. Very true. Very true. So that's definitely something that we can go, you know, talk further on in the future, because that it's important. Like, I have teenagers myself. I have three girls that are teenagers. One is in high school. The other two is in junior high school. And we have that continuous talk with them. And even with their friends, when their friends come over, they love coming over because they're like, oh, Auntie D can talk. And they can be themselves with me. But I've had that conversation with each and every one of our girls since the age of 9. Because I wanted them to be aware of themselves. I wanted them to be aware of their bodies and not be ashamed of who they are.
And also, it's important as parents that you have that communication with your child, that they feel free to come to you and able to talk to you about sex or how their body's feeling.
Yeah, and I even last year came out to my girls and told them that I'm bisexual, and they were like, okay, why are you waiting so long to tell us? But, you know, that was even a moment that I had for me, because, you know, that's something that I've shared, and I shared it outwardly to the public, but to my girls, I kept them sheltered from a lot of things. But me being honest, it helped them come to me and talk to me about some things that they were, you know, dealing with themselves.
So, now, what do you think are, as far as, you think people don't take you as seriously? I know you started off talking about how the criticisms in the black community. What do you think are some of the biggest drawbacks to having this conversation as a mainstream conversation?
Because in our black community, like I said, sex is taboo. They do it, but they don't want to talk about it.
Exactly.
We have a lot
everybody wants money and sex, and nobody wants to talk about either one.
Exactly.
We have a lot of issues that's been swept under the rug, from molestation to rape to even religion and how we're raised and how we teach. How abstinence is the only way, and wait till you're a virgin, and this and third, which is great if you choose that.
And that's the right thing too.
But they never teach, okay, what if I do go this route? What happens if I do have sex? What happens then? Besides, okay, I'm going to hell, and this and third, what happens then? You're not telling me how my body's supposed to feel. Anything like that.
And one common thing I even say in my classes, I'm a PK kid. My grandfather was a bishop. My whole family's in church. And I said, they teach us how to be a Proverbs 31 woman, which is to be, you know, meek and humble until our husband come. But they don't teach us how to keep our husband. And that's sexually as well. You know, and so with that's been the drawback with our community. But it's weird because when we go to different places like Portland, Oregon, or like we just did a West Coast tour with Vegas and L.A., a lot of people out there were looking at us like, wow, y'all are very affectionate with each other, and how can we get like that? You know, and it was our community as well as the Caucasian community. And, you know, they were welcoming a little bit more than what we've seen, you know, in other places.
Okay. So now, like, people were interested in finding where your next presentation is. Do you have an online presence? Is there a website we can go to?
Yes.
How do we keep up with you?
Yes. So if you type in DB Passion in your Google, you'll see our website is www.dbpassion.com.
And you can check out social media. We're on Instagram by instagram.com/DB Passion,
Twitter.com
/DB Passion Love, and
our individual pages. I'm Lady B on Facebook, and my husband is DH Back on Facebook.
But we're going to be at Sex Down South, which is in September.
In Atlanta.
Yes, in Atlanta, September 5th, I think, or 5th?
September 5th, and then we head over to Miami September 6th through the 8th
for
Exotica. We tour with Exotica in their different, you know, their different cities. So we'll be in for Miami and New Jersey is the next upcoming two events as well. Is there anything else that I'm missing?
Well, and we have like game nights going every month.
In Atlanta.
We have
fun game nights.
Adult
game night. And it's not your average game night. It's not just spades and Uno.
Strip poker.
We actually do a lot of adult activities as well as teach different positions for BDSM and just.
You get education.
Yeah.
So, like, the last one, we had Casey Carter, and she taught on BDSM and how you can use different household items for paddling and for flogging and
whatever. In the bedroom. So we have quite a bit going on, but that's our All About Media pages that you can contact us on.
All right, and so what advice would you give to people who were interested in doing what you were doing? Well, what you are doing, but what advice would you give them?
I would say research. Research and find a mentor. That's where we started. Researching what you want, what area you want to work in, and figure out what's your passion. We found this because we have love for each other, so we like to give love to others. That was our passion. So just finding your passion and doing a lot of research.
And also being open to different things in sex, not just being closed-minded to the in-and-out position. There's like a whole buffet of things to do sexually that people haven't even tapped into. So by all means, just be open to any and everything.
Without judgment.
Yeah, without judgment.
Okay. Buffet.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I'm good.
Hey, once again, I want to thank y'all for coming on the show.
No worries.
It's been very educational. And I'm hoping that can have you guys back soon, and hopefully you'll come to the West Coast and we'll be able to attend one of your seminars. You got any West Coast action going on?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Are you coming to the Bay Area?
We would love to. We're looking. We were in L.A. the last time we were there, so now I think we want to venture out a little bit more into, like, San Diego and Oakland and a couple of other, you know, locations out there. So, yeah, we'll be heading out there soon. We just got to put it together.
Okay. Well, hey, we'd like you to stay in touch, and please let us know when you're coming out this way, because we definitely would like to attend. But before we let you go, please tell the people one more time where they can find you.
Not a problem. You can find us at www.dvpassion.com. Or you can go to Instagram and put in DV Passion, Twitter, put in DV Passion Love. And even on YouTube, you can check out a lot of our videos by just putting DV Passion in a search browser.
Okay. All right.
Well, I'm already following you on Instagram.
Yay. Welcome. Now,
Instagram is a little risque.
It's a little risque and it's unfiltered
now.
I'm good
with that. I'm the curious type, so.
Yes. Well, I hope you enjoy. I definitely hope you enjoy.
Thank you.
All right. Well,
thank you guys, and thank you guys so much for having us a part of the show today.
We appreciate y'all, and also you get to see the group that we travel with.
Yes, if you go on our page, you get to see the group of sexpers that we also associate with.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, and
yes, thank you.
Stay in touch. We will follow you and go from there.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. Y'all have an amazing evening.
You do the same.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Good night. All right. So, yeah, that was Lady V and her husband from DV Passion. They are amazing, as you can hear and tell. And if you don't believe
yes,
me,
they were.
You can go to their website and find out for yourself, and follow them on social media. To if you didn't believe what their website says, you can just see them on their everyday journeys on social media. Speaking of which, we are long overdue for a break. And so, in light of some of the terrible terrorist action, we're gonna go old school here. This is Stevie Wonder. Heaven is 10 zillion light years away.
Thank you. inside, please let him be. And I say it's taken him so long, so good, so far, so far. But if you open your heart, you can feel that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I guess we can just ignore all of what's going on here.
No,
you know what? You know what I thought in my head. I'm like, you know what? He's right. It ain't white supremacy. It's penis envy. This whole time we've been thinking that it's racism, and it's not. It's penis envy. You know what? They just happen to be white guys, right? And so they're watching porn, and they look on the screen, and they see these penises, and they're like, and they look down, they can't see their penis. And so that draws them into a rage. And because, as we know, all of these white men, we're being very specific here, all of these white men, they are all mentally deranged. They all escape from Arkham Asylum. You know that place where Batman villains are in Gotham? Yeah. So that place.
Yeah.
They all escape from there. And so when Joker broke all of them out, they all escaped all across America because, you know, Gotham is a real place in America, right? So,
yeah.
Anyway.
I was going to say, so does that mean we need a superhero?
We're getting there. So we're just talking about the villains first. So this is what's happening. They're all mental patients. They all have suffered from mental illnesses all of their lives. They have not been able to function. They've been in and out of mental institutions. I mean, if you go back and check the backgrounds of all of them, they were in the mental institution. It just doesn't show up on their record.
Okay.
Yeah. And so they all get out and they start shooting people because they're like, they're looking at people and they're like, they go to the nightclub. I can't go into this nightclub because my penis is too small. So I'm going to kill everybody who I think has a bigger penis. And if there's a woman, like the guy in Dayton who killed his own sister, he's like, well, she's with a guy that has a bigger penis than mine. I'm going to kill her. That's the story. Or like the guy who killed the 22 people in El Paso. He was like, you know what? This Walmart is full of dudes with penises bigger than mine. So I'm just going to shoot in their direction. If he killed man, woman, and children, it doesn't matter. I got to get rid of the bigger penises. I mean, if we're going to tell lies here, we might as well tell the big lie, right?
Yeah.
You know, so that's my story. It ain't white supremacy. You know, I'm going to ride with Tucker Carlson. It ain't white supremacy. Nope. It's penis envy. You got a bigger penis, okay. I got to shoot you. That's what these white males, being very specific here, that's what these white males are thinking. My penis is too small. If I wear a shirt that's too large, I can't see my penis. So I'm mad and I can't take it. I can't take it. And they don't have the surgery so that I can get a bigger penis yet. It ain't mainstream. And so women can get breast enhancement, butt enhancement. I can't get a penis enhancement, so I'm mad. And so I'm killing
people. But you can, though. It's a such thing.
So are you defending them?
No, I'm just saying that, you know, for every problem, there is a solution. And murder is not the solution. So there's other possibilities.
Well, these are not the sharpest tools in the shed. I would have to agree. They're rather blunt. Kind of stupid.
I'm assuming that maybe they can't afford it, and you know, there's other financial, and you know, people are saying that it's not mental, but I think anybody who commits murder, they are mentally challenged in some way.
Yeah.
You know, unless you're killing someone to save your own life or a life of a loved one, I just think a murderer, there's something not right with that.
Yeah, well, I mean, for example, the gun that the Dayton shooter used is marketed as the sound that freedom makes. Because I think Ice Cube and them said it with Lynch Mob, freedom got an AK. And so they're like, hey, it's he says, and I quote, that sound freedom makes, an orchestra of metal and hellfire crafted with gritted teeth, calloused hands, and passionate hearts. That sound freedom makes is incomparable, unmistakably American-made. Somebody cue the hellfire. That's the NRA ad for that gun.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I want to make America great again, and I want justice and freedom, that would be the gun I would purchase.
That would be the gun you purchase. See, there's only one solution here. There's only one solution. Because we can't say it's white supremacy. And even if we attach his penis envy to it, there's not going to be a solution to this. There's only one solution that can happen. You know what this is, Brown Sugar?
What is it?
Black people got to start shooting white people. That is the only way you're going to get guns. No, that's the only way you're going to get guns controlled in America.
Oh, guns off. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
We already have a lot of our men in prison, so then we would have a lot of lifers now, or people on death row.
Yeah, but what we're talking about here is if you want gun control, see, because the white community cannot police themselves, right? Because it's just, it's too hard to say, hey, that guy is a hater. I mean, because white supremacy is just a hater. Just fundamentally, you just wake up, and because my balls and my penis are smaller, I'm hating. That's what it is. So, and the white community cannot police that. I mean, it's fairly obvious. I mean, Pat Toomey says he won't back banning assault weapons because they're extremely popular. He's on TV yesterday talking like, hey, they're extremely popular. So to ban an extremely popular firearm, I'm not going to support that. That would be an infringement on the rights of law-abiding citizens.
Wow. Law-abiding?
Law-abiding.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, see, because what it is we have, once again, we have these outliers, these mentally unstable outliers who do the exact same thing. They seem to just shoot into crowds. If they're not driving their car into crowds, if they're not in Vegas busting out windows, shooting into crowds of happy people, or if they're not in New Zealand, driving down the street, shooting people, walking into churches, shooting people, going to festivals, shooting people, going to nightclubs, shooting people. That's what's happening.
All of the other ones are law-abiding citizens that are like preparing themselves to do all that stuff.
Yeah, they're the impediment to those people. Only thing is, those people are never shooting at them in their neighborhood. So, like a Tucker Carlson would say, "Hey, white supremacy is not a real problem in America because they're not shooting at him." You know, when you're a white supremacy is not a problem because they're not shooting at me.
True.
You know, it's almost like you're at a basketball gym and, you know, basketball players at the basketball gym hogging up the basketball gym is not a problem if you're a basketball player. But if you wanted to play some volleyball in the basketball gym, it's a problem. Now, see, some folks wouldn't get that analogy because it's like one is passive and one is just murderous. But we're saying.
Yeah, so what you're saying is I can't play volleyball, but if I join the basketball team, then I can play basketball. So I'm not a white supremacist, but if I join, then I won't have a problem.
Well, the problem is, in that situation, we can't join.
Well, not me per se, but I'm just saying
I can't join. Yeah, Tucker Carlson can join. He can be a member on the low. It's the wink wink group, right? You know, it's sort of like, you know, black folks give that wink where they head up. But, you know, we know, hey, there's black folks here. Yeah, what's up? We do that, the head nod. That's a club that we join in. We're good. If we can acknowledge that, we're good. If people don't acknowledge that, then it's a problem. And so white supremacists, they don't have that problem. Now, it's starting to spill over a little bit because it's a few of them that's getting shot and killed. But it's still not enough. Only way you're going to solve gun control, you're going to get gun control, is if black folks just start shooting white people. If that starts happening, then boom. Gun control.
Or we just buy guns. Maybe if we just buy guns.
No.
No. Okay.
Buying guns, it means nothing. You know, because they
thought maybe, you know, the spike in, you know, sales.
Yeah, but see, what we're talking about here is it's a narrative, right? See, there is a narrative.
Mm-hmm.
White folks are not terrorists. White folks can do no wrong. White folks are not terrifying. They are not scary. That's the narrative in America. And so, to change the narrative, you would need folks to change the narrative. It's a double negative in the word, but what we're saying in this sentence. So the optical view of black folks gunning down white people, just shooting white people, would be so horrifying that, hey, we got to have gun control.
Yeah, that's true. I agree.
Yeah, I mean, so in 24 hours, if those attacks would have been two black people, black identity extremists, that as they call them, two black identity extremists who would have went and shot up a bunch of white people, guess what? Gun control would be passed this week. They would come in, Congress and the Senate would have a special vote, and Trump would be like, hey, we got to stop this gun control. Bam. Be over with. Just like that. Snap the finger. Stop it. Nothing more, nothing less.
Yeah.
Am I the only one that's... I'm the only one that sees that? I don't think
you are.
Yeah, I mean, so, and I'm even go further. You know, we did Groundhog Day. I don't even have to go any further as far as our dumbass of the week. All right. So, dumbass of the week. Normally, we wait till the end of the week, but we don't have to go no further. Ohio Representative Candace Keller. She's a representative from Middletown, Ohio. You ever been to Middletown, Ohio?
I have not.
Me either. So, and this is probably one of the reasons why. She came out. She blamed the mass shootings on, I quote, drag queens and marijuana. She said, So she said on Facebook, a few hours after the white dude shot and killed people in Dayton, Ohio, she said, it's the breakdown of the American family, the hatred of our veterans, and snowflakes who can't accept a duly elected president. Yeah.
I do agree with it is the breakdown of a family.
Really?
I do. I think, yeah, because everybody, I mean, the breakdown of the family situation is across the board everywhere. I mean, I don't think that has, that's no color. That's just the sign of the time. You know, where families aren't, you know, sitting down at dinner, or, you know, parents aren't necessarily taking time out to talk to children. So I agree with that. I don't necessarily understand the, so did she say the drag queen?
Yeah, legal marijuana, gay marriage, drag queen, advocates, all that.
Oh.
That is what, and not accepting the president, that's why he shot and killed those people.
So you don't think that the president, I mean, because I believe we can't necessarily put, you know, blame Trump for.
No.
But I do think he does have some accountability to it.
Well, see, I'm gonna say this. I'm just saying this. So we're gonna take the politics out of it for a second, and we just say, all right. So who did it? It's a white guy. Who decided I wanted to kill my own sister, and kill a whole bunch of people who didn't look like him.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, a few hours later, it happens again. I don't know. I mean, it seems rather simple what this is, because they all are white males. Every last one of them are white males. So it's not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so for her to come out, oh, yeah, that's what the problem is. Yeah, I don't think gay marriage was what put him over the top. Like, oh, gay is getting married, that's it. I'm going to go kill somebody. Oh,
yeah,
marijuana legal?
Yeah, I don't see
you. I'm going to go kill somebody. No, what? They got drag queens in the world. I'm gonna kill somebody. I mean, shit. And everybody be dying every day. drag queens forever. You know, from Flip Wilson on.
Yeah.
This Doubtfire came out, so we're gonna kill somebody? Nope. Nobody died over this Doubtfire.
Yeah.
You know, we can say breakdown of family. Hatred of the veterans. I don't think he was like, I'm going to kill y'all because I hate veterans. Yeah, nope.
But okay, so I'm not necessarily understanding that, because isn't that like the backbone of America, like being patriotic to your country? So,
yeah.
It seems like there's a contradiction with all of that.
Well, you know, they say that he was leaning left. He was a left-leaning killer. Like, that matters to us. See, it just proves
it doesn't matter. But then, isn't left more liberal, right?
Well, this is what I'm saying. Yeah, it's more liberal, no doubt. But guess what?
So then he would be okay with the gays and the drag queens.
Well, supposedly.
he'd be more accepting.
Right, but see, the point is, at the end of the day, left or right, or middle, or at the top, or on the bottom, whatever way you want to say they're leaning, it end up being white males shooting non-white people.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other visual.
60 seconds.
There's no other visual. That's the number one visual. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They all have the same visual. Anyway, for Miss Brown Sugar, I am Mr. N-Word. A special thank you to DV Passion for coming on the show. This is another Smooth Drama production. And, you know, we're out.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth.
is the lady with her head.
Where the hell did you get your news from?
Together you got
Drummer.